Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Vassals of Kingsgrave, Full Castle Recording Edition for The Princess Bride. This will be an abridged version, which we will be performing sort of because we feel like it, inspired by the movie The Princess Bride, which is inspired by the book The Princess Bride, both of which were written by, what was his name, William Goldman?
Yep.
Yeah, man? Ing? Okay. One of them wrote Lord of the Flies, and one of them wrote Princess Bride. So, and I looked at them mixed up. But I'm Ing Gazrayden, and I will be reading the role of the narrator, who now exists, woo, and Buttercup, and maybe Miracle Max, if we punch it out.
This is Amber Rocks, Amber on the forums. I will be the young, sick child, Fred Savage, as well as the handsome Prince Humperdinck.
Okay, this is Bina 007. I will be playing the mother, Valerie, a.k.a. Mrs. Miracle Max, and the impressive clergyman.
My name is Duncan, or Velkris on the forums, and I will be playing the grandfather, Bassini and Yellen.
And my name is Zach, also known as Alias on the forums, and I'll be playing Wesley.
And we will be having Lord Mandeville Inigo.
Yeah, this is Shane, the sex devil from the forums, and I'll be playing Fezzik and Count Rugen, who I think his name is, I just rewatched it today, and I think his name is, now I forgot, it's like some weird name, but in the movie, Prince Rugen says it casually, and now I just forgot, so forget I brought that up.
Okay, and if there are other people that you think should be in the script and aren't, it's because we've abridged it, so if you're from the movie studio, we love this film, please don't sue us. Thank you.
Yeah, please don't sue us. That'll hold up in court.
Money. We asked really nicely. We said please.
Our story begins in the bedroom of a sick young kid in 1980s Brooklyn.
You feeling any better?
A little bit.
Guess what?
What?
Your grandfather's here.
Mom, can't you tell him that I'm sick?
You are sick, that's why he's here.
But I'll pinch my cheek, I hate that.
Maybe he won't.
Hey, how's the sickie, hey?
I think I'll leave you two pals.
I bought you a special present.
What is it?
Open it up.
A book?
That's right. When I was your age, television was called books. And this is a special book. It was the book my father used to read to me when I was sick, and I used to read it to your father. And today, I'm going to read it to you.
Does it have any sports in it?
Are you kidding? Fencing, fighting, torture, revenge, giants, monsters, chases, escapes, true love, miracles.
Well, it doesn't sound too bad. I'll try and stay awake.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's very nice of you. Your vote of confidence is overwhelming. All right. The Princess Bride by S. Morgenstern. Chapter 1. Buttercup was raised on a small farm in the country of Florin. Her favorite pastimes were running riddles and tormenting the farm boy that worked there. His name was Wesley, but she never called him that. Isn't that a wonderful beginning?
Yeah, it's really good.
Nothing gave Buttercup as much pleasure as ordering Wesley around.
Bueller?
Sorry.
Farm boy.
Farm boy, polish my horse's saddle. I want to see my face shining in it by morning.
As you wish.
As you wish was all he ever said to her.
Farm boy, fill these with water, please.
Bueller?
Wesley? Wesley?
Oh, is it my turn?
I heard it.
Damn it, Wesley.
This is going to be tough.
You only had one line.
Come on. Try my best.
Okay. As you wish.
That day, she was amazed to discover that when he was saying, as you wish, what he meant was, I love you. And even more amazing was the day she realized she truly loved him back.
Bomb boy, fetch me that pitcher.
Beautiful. As you wish. I'm doing the pause. He like walks up really slow gets the ball close and personal.
I'm sorry.
Needs to smolder.
Yeah.
Do you want to do one more?
Sure. As you wish.
Hold it. What is this? Are you trying to trick me? Where's the sports? Is this a kissing book?
Wait, just wait.
Well, when does it get good?
Keep your shirt on. Let me read. Wesley had no time for marriage, so he packed his few belongings and left the farm.
Money, otherwise he doesn't love her.
Sweetie, what? Had no time for
what did I say?
Freudian slip there, was there, Duncan?
What did I say?
Duncan's like, I got no time for this.
No time for marriage.
A scary glimpse into your inner psyche, Duncan.
No, that's staying in. All right, okay. Keep your shirt on. Let me read. Wesley had no money for marriage, so he packed his few belongings and left the farm to seek his fortune across the sea. It was a very emotional time for Buttercup.
I don't believe this.
I fear I'll never see you again.
Of course you will.
But what if something happens to you?
Hear this now. I will come for you.
<That's terrible. laughs> Sorry. Sounded like my ultimate.
Hear this now. Yeah, it was terrible. Hear this now. I will come for you.
But how can you be sure?
This is true love. You think this happens every day?
Wesley didn't reach his destination. His ship was attacked by the dread pirate Roberts, who never left his captives alive. When Buttercup got the news that Wesley was murdered...
Murdered by pirates is good.
She went into her room and shut the door, and for days she neither slept nor ate.
I will never love again.
No emotion at all in her voice. So what about you, Ash?
Okay. I will never love again. 5 years later, on the 500th anniversary of Florin, Prince Humperdinck chose Buttercup, now the most beautiful girl in the world, to be his bride. But on the eve of their wedding, she was kidnapped, apparently by agents of Florin's enemy, Gilder.
Once the horse reaches the castle, the fabric will make the prince suspect the Gildernians have abducted his love. When he finds the body dead on the Gilder frontier, his suspicions will be totally confirmed.
You never said anything about killing anyone.
I've hired you to help me start a war. That's a prestigious line of work with a long and glorious tradition.
I just don't think it's right, killing an innocent girl.
Am I going mad, or did the word think escape your lips? You were not hired for your brains, you hippopotamic landmass.
I agree with Fezzik.
Oh, the sod has spoken. What happens to her is not truly your concern. I will kill her. And remember this, never forget this. When I found you, you were so slobbering drunk you couldn't buy brandy. And you, friendless, brainless, helpless, hopeless, do you want me to send you back to where you were? Unemployed? In Greenland?
But as the kidnappers neared the cliffs of insanity, something inconceivable happened.
Why are you doing that?
Making sure nobody's following us.
That would be inconceivable.
You sure nobody's following us?
As I told you, it would be absolutely, totally, and in all other ways inconceivable. No one in Gilda knows what we've done, and no one in Florin could have gotten here so fast. Out of curiosity, why do you ask?
No reason. It's only, I just happened to look behind us, and something is there.
What? Probably some local fisherman out for a pleasure cruise. At night, through eel-infested waters.
But just at that moment, Buttercup clambered overboard and tried to swim to her escape.
Do you hear that sound, Highness? Those are the shrieking eels. If you doubt me, just wait. They always grow louder when they're about to feed on human flesh. If you swim back now, I promise no harm will come to you. I doubt you'll get such an offer from the eels. She doesn't get eaten by the eels at this time.
What?
The eels don't get her. I'm explaining to you because you look nervous.
Oh, well, I was nervous. I mean, I was maybe a little bit concerned, but that's not the same thing.
Because I can stop if you want.
No,
you could read a little bit more, if you want.
Fezzik rescued Buttercup by pulling her back into the boat, but the ship was still being followed.
I think he's getting closer.
He's no concern of ours. Sail on.
Look, he's right on top of us. I wonder if he's using the same wind we are using.
Whoever he is, he's too late. See? The Cliffs of Insanity.
But the cliffs were no barrier to the man in black.
He's climbing the rope, and he's gaining on us.
He didn't fall. Inconceivable.
You keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Whoever he is, he's obviously seen us with the princess and must therefore die. You, carry her. We'll head straight for the Guild of Frontier. Catch up when he's dead. If he falls, fine. If not, the sword.
Finally, the man in black, promised safe passage by Inigo upon the soul of his dead father, is ready to duel left-handed.
I do not mean to pry, but you don't by any chance happen to have six fingers on your right hand.
Do you always begin conversations this way?
My father was slaughtered by a six-fingered man. He was a great sword maker, my father. And when the six-fingered man appeared and requested a special sword, my father took the job. He slaved a year before he was done.
I've never seen its equal.
The six-fingered man returned and demanded it, but at 1/10 his promised price. My father refused. Without a word, the six-fingered man slashed him through the heart. I loved my father, so naturally challenged his murderer to a duel. I failed, and the six-fingered man did leave me alive with a six-fingered sword, but he gave me these.
How old were you?
I was 11 years old. When I was strong enough, I dedicated my life to the study of fencing. So the next time we meet, I will not fail. I will go up to the six-fingered man and say, "Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die."
You've done nothing but study swordplay.
More pursuit than study lately. You see, I cannot find him. It's been 20 years now. I'm starting to lose confidence. I just work for Vizzini to pay the bills. There's not a lot of money in revenge.
Well, I certainly hope you find him someday.
You are ready, then?
Whether I am or not, you've been more than fair.
You seem a decent fellow. I hate to kill you.
You seem a decent fellow. I hate to die.
Begin.
What then took place was one of the two greatest sword fights in modern movies. The other one happens later on. And right from the beginning, it looks different. But because they aren't close to each other, none of the sword crossing en garde garbage. Wait, no, I read that wrong. Because they aren't close to each other, none of the sword crossing en garde garbage. What we have here is two men, two athletes, and they look to be too far away to damage each other. But each time one makes even the tiniest feint, the other counters, and there is silence, and they start to circle.
You're using Bonetti's defense against me, huh?
I thought it fitting, considering the rocky terrain.
Naturally, you must expect me to attack with Capoferro.
Naturally, but I find Tebow cancels out Capoferro, don't you?
Unless the enemy has studied his Agrippa, which I have.
This is two legendary swashbucklers, and they're in their prime. It's Burt Lancaster and the Crimson Pirate, battling Errol Flynn and Robin Hood.
This is actually straight from the screenplay, by the way. I didn't make that shit up. This is how William Goldman describes how it should look to the future director.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
You are wonderful.
Thank you. I've worked hard to become so.
I admit it. You are better than I am.
And why are you smiling?
Because I know something you don't know.
And what is that?
I'm not left-handed.
You're amazing.
I ought to be so after 20 years.
There's something I have to tell you.
Tell me.
I'm not left-handed either.
And to his amazement, he's being forced back down the steps. He tries one style, another, but it all comes down to the same thing. The man in black seems to be in control. And before Inigo knows it, the six-fingered sword is knocked clear out of his hand.
Who are you?
No one of consequence.
I must know.
Get used to disappointment.
Okay.
And with that, the man in black bests Inigo Montoya with steel.
Kill me quickly.
I would as soon destroy a stained glass window as an artist like yourself. However, since I can't have you following me either.
The man in black hit Inigo Montoya on the side of the head with a rock.
Please understand, I hold you in the highest respect.
Before rushing off to catch up with Vizzini, Fezzik, and Buttercup.
Pick up one of those rocks, get behind the boulder, and in a few minutes, the man in black will come running around the bend. The minute his head is in view, hit him with the rock!
Maui is not very sportsmanlike. I did that on purpose.
Fezzik throws the rock away from the man in black's head.
I did that on purpose. I don't have to miss.
I believe you. So what happens now?
We face each other as God intended, sportsmanlike. No tricks, no weapons, skill against skill alone.
This is just so good.
It's really good. You mean you'll put down your rock and I'll put down my sword and we'll try to kill each other like civilized people?
I could kill you now.
Frankly, I think the odds are slightly in your favor at hand fighting.
It's not my fault being the biggest and the strongest. I don't even exercise.
Look, are you just fiddling around with me or what?
I just want you to feel you're doing well. I hate for people to die embarrassed.
He's so sweet.
You're quick.
And a good thing, too.
Why are you wearing a mask? Were you burned by acid or something like that?
Oh no, it's just they're terribly comfortable. I think everyone will be wearing them in the future.
I just figured out why you're giving me so much trouble.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, I haven't fought just one person for so long. I've been specializing in groups, battling gangs for local charities, that kind of thing.
Why should that make such a difference?
Well, you see, you use different moves when you're fighting half a dozen people than when you only have to be worried about one.
And with that, the man in black bested Fezzik for strength.
I don't envy you the headache you'll have when you awake, but in the meantime, rest well and dream of large woman.
The man in black ran off, soon catching up with Vizini and Buttercup, who were waiting at a table laid for a picnic.
If you wish her dead, by all means, keep moving forward.
Let me explain.
There's nothing to explain. You're trying to kidnap what I've rightfully stolen.
Perhaps an arrangement can be reached.
There will be no arrangement, and you're killing her.
But if there can be no arrangement, then we are at an impasse.
I'm afraid so. I can't compete with you physically, and you're no match for my brains.
You're that smart.
Let me put it to you this way. Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Yes.
Morons.
Really? In that case, I challenge you to a battle of wits.
For the princess. To the death. I accept.
Good. Then pour the wine. Inhale this, but do not touch.
I smell nothing.
What you do not smell is called iocane powder. It is odorless, tasteless, dissolves instantly in any liquid, and is among the more deadlier poisons known to man. All right. Where is the poison? The battle of wits has begun. It ends when you decide and we both drink and find out who is right and who is dead.
But it's so simple. All I have to do is divine from what I know of you. Are you the sort of man who would put the poison into his own goblet or his enemies? Now, a clever man would put the poison into his own goblet, because he would know that only a great fool would reach for what he is given. I am not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool. You would have counted on it. So I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You've made your decision, then.
Not remotely, because Iocane comes from Australia, as everyone knows, and Australia is entirely peopled by criminals. Slander. And criminals are used to having people not trust them, as you are not trusted by me. Outrageous. I'm changing it to New Zealand. Because Iocane comes from New Zealand, as everyone knows, and New Zealand is entirely peopled with criminals. And criminals are used to... to having people not trust them, as you are not trusted by me, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going. Where was I?
New Zealand.
Yes, New Zealand. And you must have suspected I would have known the powder's origin, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You're just stalling now.
You'd like to think that, wouldn't you? You've beaten my giant, which means you're exceptionally strong, so you could have put the poison into your own goblet, trusting on your strength to save you, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you've bested my Spaniard, which means you have studied, and in studying, you must have learned that man is mortal, so you would have put the poison as far away from yourself as possible, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me. Narrator.
As Vizini's pleasure has been growing throughout, the man in blacks has been fast disappearing.
You're trying to trick me into giving away something. It won't work.
It has worked. You've given everything away. I know where the poison is.
Then make your choice.
I will. And I choose... What in the world can that be?
What? Where? I don't see anything.
Oh, well, I could have sworn I saw something. No matter.
What's so funny?
I'll tell you in a minute. First, let's drink.
Me from my glass, and you from yours.
You guessed wrong.
You only think I guessed wrong. That's what's so funny. I switched glasses when your back was turned, you fool. You fell victim to one of the classic blunders. The most famous is, never get involved in a land war in Asia, but only slightly less well known is, never going against a Sicilian when death is on the line.
I did the laugh.
Brother.
Who are you?
I'm no one to be trifled with. That is all you ever need know.
To think, all that time it was your cup that was poisoned.
You were both poisoned. I spent the last few years building up an immunity to iocane powder.
If you release me, whatever you ask for ransom, you'll get it. I promise you.
What is that worth, the promise of a woman? You're very funny, Highness.
I was giving you a chance. No matter where you take me, there is no greater hunter than Prince Humperdinck. He could track a falcon on a cloudy day. He can find you.
You think your dearest love will save you?
I never said he was my dearest love. Yes, he will save me. That I know.
You admit to me that you do not love your fiancé?
He knows I do not love him.
Are not capable of love, is what you mean.
I have loved more deeply than a killer like yourself could ever dream.
That was a warning, Highness. The next time, my hand flies on its own. For where I come from, there are penalties when a woman lies.
Such bullshit. Yeah, I know who you are. Your cruelty reveals everything. You're the dread pirate Roberts. Admit it.
With pride, what can I do for you?
You can die slowly, cut into 1,000 pieces.
Hardly complimentary, Your Highness. Why loose your venom on me?
You killed my love.
It's possible. I kill a lot of people. Who is this love of yours? Another prince like this one? Ugly, rich, and scabby?
No, a farm boy. Poor and perfect. With eyes like the sea after a storm. On the high seas, your ship attacked. And the dread pirate Roberts never takes prisoner.
I can't afford to make exceptions. Once word leaks out that a pirate's gone soft, people begin to disobey you. And then it's nothing but work, work, work. All the time.
You mock my pain.
Life is pain, Highness. Anyone who says differently is selling something. I remember this farm boy of yours, I think. This would be, what, 5 years ago? Does it bother you to hear?
Nothing you can say will upset me.
He died well. That should please you. No bribe attempts or blubbering. He simply said, please, please, I need to live. It was the please that caught my memory. I asked him what was so important for him. True love, he replied. Then he spoke of a girl of surpassing beauty and faithfulness. I can only assume he meant you. You should bless me for destroying him before he found out what you really are.
And what am I?
Faithfulness, you talked of, madam. Your enduring faithfulness. Now tell me truly, when you found out he was gone, did you get engaged to your prince that same hour, or did you wait a whole week out of respect for the dead?
You mocked me once. Never do it again. I died that day. You can die too, for all I care. At that, Buttercup pushed the dread pirate Roberts off the cliff edge and down to the ravine below.
As you wish.
Brilliant.
Oh, my sweet Wesley, what have I done? And without a second thought or consideration of the dangers, Buttercup threw herself over the cliff edge, cartwheeling down toward what was left of her beloved.
Can you move at all?
Move? You're alive. If you want, I can fly.
I told you I would always come for you. Why didn't you wait for me?
Well, you were dead.
Death cannot stop true love. All it can do is delay it for a while.
I will never doubt again.
There will be no need. Oh, there. Let me do that. Oh. There will never be a need.
Oh, no. No, please.
Oh, sorry.
Bueller?
Shut up. All right. What is it? What's the matter?
They're kissing again. Do we have to hear the kissing part?
Someday you might not mind so much.
Skip on to the fire swamp. That sounded good.
Oh, you're sick. I'll humor you. So, now, where were we? Yeah. Ah, okay. Wesley and Buttercup raced along the ravine floor.
Ha! Your pig fiancé is too late. A few more steps and we'll be safe in the fire swamp.
I will never survive!
Nonsense. You're only saying that because no one ever has. It's not that bad. I'm not saying I'd like to build a summer home here, but the trees are actually quite lovely. Well, now, that was an adventure. Oh.
That's okay. A good one.
Yeah, sounds good. All right. Well, now, that was an adventure. Cinched a bit for you.
You?
Well, one thing I will say, the fire swamp certainly does keep you on your toes. This will all sound... This will all soon be put up with a happy memory because Robert's ship Revenge is anchored at the far end, and I soon as... Okay, I have to start this whole thing over. Okay. This will all be... Oh, God, this is weirdly hard. This will all soon be but a happy memory because Robert's ship Revenge is anchored at the far end, and I, as you know, am Robert's.
But how is that possible? Since he's been marauding 20 years, and you only left me 5 years ago.
I myself am often surprised at life's little quirks. You see, what I told you before about saying please was true. It intrigued Roberts, as did my descriptions of your beauty. Finally, Roberts decided something. He said, "All right, Wesley, I'd never had a valet. You can try it for tonight. It'll most likely kill you in the morning." 3 years, he said that. "Good night, Wesley. Good work. Sleep well. I'll most likely kill you in the morning." It was a fine time for me. I was learning to fence, to fight, anything anyone would teach me. And Roberts and I eventually became friends. Then it happened.
What? Go on.
Well, Roberts had grown so rich, he wanted to retire, so he took me to his cabin and told me his secret. "I am not the Dread Pirate Roberts," he said. "My name is Ryan. I inherited the ship from the previous Dread Pirate Roberts, just as you will inherit it from me. The man I inherited it from was not the real Dread Pirate Roberts either. His name was Cummerbund. The real Roberts has been retired 15 years and living like a king in Patagonia." And he explained the name was the important thing for inspiring the necessary fear. You see, no one would surrender to the Dread Pirate Wesley. So we sailed ashore, took an entirely new view when he stayed aboard for a while as first mate, all the time calling me Roberts. Once the crew believed, he left the ship and I've been Roberts ever since. Except now that we're together, I shall retire and hand that name over to someone else. Is everything clear to you? I mean, what are the three terrors of the fire swamp? One, the flames spurt, no problem. There's a popping sound preceding each, we can avoid that. Two, the lightning sound. But you were clever enough to discover what that looks like. So in the future, we can avoid that too.
Wesley, what about the R.O.U.S.'s?
Rodents of unusual size? I don't think they exist.
Wesley!
Awesome.
Right. I'm totally mad that here, guys. We did it!
Now, was that so terrible?
From somewhere, they summoned strength, picked up their pace. But as they reached the edge of the fire swamp, they ran into Prince Humperdinck, Count Rugen, and their henchmen, who had been tracking them since the Cliffs of Insanity.
Surrender.
You mean you was to surrender to me? Very well, I accept.
I give you full marks for bravery. Don't make yourself a fool.
Ah, but how will you capture us? We know the secrets of the fire swamp. We can live there quite happily for some time. Yeah, we can live there quite happily for some time. So whenever you feel like dying, feel free to visit.
I tell you once again, surrender.
It will not happen.
For the last time, surrender.
Death first.
Will you promise not to hurt him?
What was that?
What was that?
If we surrender and I return with you, will you promise not to hurt this man?
May I live 1,000 years and never hunt again.
He's a sailor on the pirate ship Revenge. Promise to return him to his ship.
I swear it will be done. Once we're out of sight, take him back to Florin and throw him in the pit of despair.
I swear it will be done.
I thought you were dead once, and it almost destroyed me. I could not bear it if you died again, not when I could save you. Once back at the castle, Buttercup negotiated her fate with the prince, swearing she would kill herself on her wedding night. Horrified, Humperdinck promised to send letters for Wesley, asking him to come back for her. But if he didn't return within 10 days, the marriage would go ahead. But what Buttercup didn't know is that when Wesley awoke from the blow Rugen had given him, he was in a dank and chill underground chamber lit by flickering torches, chained to a table.
Beautiful, isn't it? It took me half a lifetime to invent it. I'm sure you've discovered my deep and abiding interest in pain. At present, I'm writing the definitive work on the subject, so I want you to be totally honest with me on how the machine makes you feel. As you know, the concept of a suction pump is centuries old. Well, really, that's all this is, except that instead of sucking water, I'm sucking life. I've just sucked 1 year of your life away. I might one day go as high as 5, but I really don't know what that would do to you. So let's just start with what we have. What did this do to you? Tell me. And remember, this is for posterity, so be honest. How do you feel?
Ah!
Interesting.
And where were Inigo and Fezzik while Wesley was being tortured? I'm afraid that Inigo was drunk as a skunk, sprawled in front of a hovel, a bottle of brandy in one hand, a six-fingered sword in the other. But as the brute squad came for him, he was saved by his old friend.
Fezzik and Inigo were reunited, and as Fezzik nursed his inebriated friend back to health, he told Inigo of Vicini's death and the existence of Count Rugen, the six-fingered man. Considering Inigo's lifelong search, he handled the news surprisingly well. Fezzik took great care in reviving Inigo.
That's enough, that's enough. Where is this Rugen so I may kill him?
He's with the prince in the castle, but the castle gate is guarded by 30 men.
How many could you handle?
I don't think more than 10.
That leaves 20 for me. At my best, I could never defeat that many. I need Vicini to plan. I have no gift for strategy.
But Vicini's dead.
No, not Vicini. I need the man in black.
What?
Look, he blessed you with strength, your greatness. He blessed me with steel. He must have outthought Vicini, and a man who can do that can plan my castle's onslaught any day. Let's go!
Where?
To find the man in black, obviously.
But you don't know where he is.
Don't bother me with trifles. After 20 years, at last, my father's soul will be at peace. There will be blood tonight!
Meanwhile, back at the castle...
Sorry.
Ah, my dulcet darling, tonight we marry. Tomorrow morning, your men will escort us to Florin Channel, where every ship in my armada waits to accompany us on our honeymoon.
Every ship but your four fastest, you mean? Every ship but the four you sent?
Yes, 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 of course. Naturally, not those four.
You never sent the ships. Don't bother lying. It doesn't matter. Wesley will come for me anyway.
You're a silly girl.
Yes. I am a silly girl, for not having seen sooner that you were nothing but a coward with a heart full of fear.
I would not say such things if I were you.
Why not? You can't hurt me. Wesley and I are joined by the bonds of love, and you cannot track that, not with 1,000 bloodhounds, and you cannot break it, not with 1,000 swords. And when I say you are a coward, that is only because you are the slimiest weakling ever to crawl the earth.
I would not say such things if I were you.
At which Humperdinck ran in a rage to the underground lair where Wesley was being tortured.
You truly love each other, and so you might have been truly happy. Not one couple in a century has that chance, no matter what the storybooks say. And so I think no man in a century will suffer as greatly as you will.
Not to 50!
The future you support!
Fezzik! Fezzik, listen, do you hear? That is the sound of ultimate suffering! My heart made that sound when Rugen slaughtered my father. The man in black, he makes it now.
The man in black?
His true love is marrying another tonight. So who else has cause for ultimate suffering? Excuse me, it's too crowded. Pardon me. Oh, it's important. Fezzik, please.
Everybody, move!
Thank you. Father, I have failed you for 20 years. Now our misery can end. Somewhere close by is a man who can help us. I cannot find him alone. I need you. I need you to guide my sword. Please.
And now he rises, eyes still closed.
Guide my sword.
It didn't work. But as Inigo leaned against the knotted tree in despair, a secret door opened, leading him straight to Wesley.
He's dead.
It just is not fair.
Grandpa. Grandpa, wait, what did Fezzik mean? He's dead. I mean, he didn't mean dead. Wesley's only faking, right?
You want me to read this or not?
Well, who gets Humperdinck?
I don't understand.
Who killed Prince Humperdinck? At the end, somebody's got to do it. Is it Inigo? Who?
Nobody. Nobody kills him. He lives.
You mean he wins? Jesus, Grandpa, what do you read me this thing for?
You know, you've been very sick, and you're taking this story very seriously. I think we better stop now.
No, I'm okay. I'm okay. Just sit down, all right?
Okay. All right. Now let's see. Where were we? Oh yes, in the Pit of Despair.
Well, we Montoyas have never taken defeat easily. Come along, Physic. Bring the body.
The body?
Have you any money?
I have a little.
I just hope it's enough to buy a miracle, that's all.
Go away! What? What?
Are you the Miracle Max who worked for the king all those years?
The king's stinking son fired me, and thank you so much for bringing up a painful subject. Well, while you're at it, why don't you give me a nice paper cut and pour lemon juice on it? Wear clothes! Beat it, or I'll call the Brood Squad.
I'm on the Brood Squad.
You are the Brood Squad.
We need a miracle. It's very important.
Look, I'm retired. And besides, why would you want someone the king's stinking son fired? I might kill whoever you wanted me to miracle.
He's already dead.
Ah, he is, huh? Now take a look. Bring him in. I've seen worse.
Sir? Sir?
Huh?
We're really in a terrible rush.
Don't rush me, sonny. You rush a miracle man, you get rotten miracles. You got money?
65.
Sheesh. I never worked for so little except once, and that was a very noble cause.
This is a noble cause, sir. His wife is crippled. His children are on the brink of starvation.
Are you a rotten liar?
Look, I need him to help avenge my father, murdered these 20 years.
Your first story was better. Where's that fellow? He probably owes you money, huh? Well, I'll ask him.
He's dead. He can't talk.
Look, you know so much. Well, it just so happens that your friend here is only mostly dead. There's a big difference between mostly dead and dead. Please open his mouth. Now, mostly dead is still slightly alive. Now, all dead, well, with all dead, there's usually only one thing that you can do.
What's that?
Go through his clothes and look for loose change. Hello! Hey! Hey, hello in there! What's so important? What you got to... What... What you got here that's worth living for?
True love.
True love! You heard him. You couldn't ask for a more noble cause than that.
Sonny, true love is the greatest thing in the world. Except for a nice MLT. Mutton, lettuce, and tomato sandwich where the mutton is nice and lean and the tomato is right. Oh, that's so perky. I love that. But that's not what he said. He distinctly said, bleh. And we all know. To bad means to bluff. So you're probably playing cards and he cheated.
Liar! Liar! Liar!
Get back, witch!
I'm not a witch. I'm your wife. But after what you just said, I'm not even sure I want to be that anymore.
You never had it so good.
True love. He said true love. Max, my God!
Don't say another word, Valerie.
He's afraid. Ever since Prince Humperdinck fired him, his confidence is shattered.
Why'd you say that name? You promised me that you would never say that name.
What? Humperdinck. Humperdinck, Humperdinck, Humperdinck. Ooh, Humperdinck.
I'm not listening.
A life expiring and you don't have the decency to say why you won't help.
Nobody's hearing nothing.
Humperdinck, Humperdinck, Humperdinck. But this is Humperdinck's true love. If you heal him, he will stop Humperdinck's wedding. Humperdinck, Humperdinck. Slightly schizophrenic.
Shut up. Wait. I make him better. Humperdinck suffers.
Humiliations galore.
That is a noble cause. Give me the 65. I'm on the job. But when Inigo got the pill, he was nonplussed.
That's a miracle pill? The chocolate coating makes it go down easier, but you have to wait 15 minutes for full potency, and you shouldn't go swimming after for at least what?
An hour.
Yeah, an hour.
A good hour, yeah. So, Fezzik and Inigo wheeled Wesley to the castle wall, where they saw the Brute Squad guarding the castle gate. Hurriedly, they fed Wesley the pill.
I want my arms moved.
You've been mostly dead all day.
We had Miracle Max make a bill to bring you back.
Who are you? Are we enemies? Why am I on this wall? Where's Buttercup?
Let me explain. No, there is too much. Let me sum up. Buttercup is marrying Humperdinck in a little less than half an hour. So all we have to do is get in, break up the wedding, steal the princess, make our escape after I kill Count Rugen.
That doesn't leave much time for dilly-dallying.
You just wiggled your finger. That's wonderful.
I've always been a quick healer. What are our liabilities?
There is but one working Castle Gate, and it is guarded by 60 men.
And our assets?
Your brains, physic strength, my steel.
That's it? Impossible. If I had a month to plan, maybe I could come up with something, but this...
He shakes his head from side to side.
You just shook your head. That doesn't make you happy?
My brain's his steel and your strength against 60 men, and you think a little head jiggling is supposed to make me happy. What I wouldn't give for a Holocaust cloak.
Will this do?
Where did you get that?
At Miracle Max's. It fits so nice, he said I could keep it.
All right, come on, help me up. Now, I'll need a sword eventually.
Why? You can't even lift one.
True, but that's hardly common knowledge, is it? Thank you. Now, there may be problems once we're inside.
I'll stay. How do I find the Count? Once I do, how do I find you again? Once I find you again, how do we escape?
Don't pester him. He's had a hard day.
Right, sorry.
As the boys prepared to face the Brute Squad, Buttercup walked up to the altar where she was to be married to Prince Humperdinck by the most intelligent-looking, the most impressive-appearing clergyman imaginable.
Marriage is what brings us together today. Marriage, the blessed arrangement, that dream within a dream.
Meanwhile, back at the castle gates, the Brute Squad faced what appeared to be a giant floating toward them out of the darkness. A giant in a strange cloak, and with a voice that would crumble walls.
Stand your ground, men. Stand your ground.
I am the Dread Pirate Roberts. There will be no survivors.
Now?
Not yet.
My men are here. And I am here. Basu, you will not be here.
Now?
Knight him.
The Dread Pirate Robert takes no survivors. All your worst nightmares are about to come true. The Dread Pirate Robert is here for your souls.
Stay where you are. I said stay where you are.
Humperdinck was discombobulated by the commotion outside and hastened the wedding to its conclusion.
So treasure your wav.
Yes, skip to the end.
Have you the wing?
Here comes my Wesley now.
Your Wesley is dead. I killed him myself.
Then why is there fear behind your eyes? And just at that moment, Wesley gained the keys to the castle.
Give us the gate key.
I have no key.
Fezzik, tear his arms off.
Oh, you mean this key?
Meanwhile, back in the chapel...
And do you, Princess Bawakwap?
Man and wife. Same man and wife.
Man and wife?
Escort the bride to the honeymoon suite. I'll be there shortly.
He didn't come. As Buttercup stood forlorn, Rugen was racing through the castle until he and his guards reached a complex intersection of several corridors where he ran into Wesley, Fezzik, and Inigo.
Kill the Dark One and the Giant, but leave the third for questioning.
Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Fezzik, I need you!
I can't leave him alone.
He's getting away from me, Fezzik. Please, Fezzik!
I'll be right back.
Thank you. Sorry, Father. I tried.
You must be that little Spanish brat I taught a lesson to all those years ago. It's simply incredible. Have you been chasing me your whole life, only to fail now? I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard. How marvelous. Good heavens, are you still trying to win? You've got an overdeveloped sense of vengeance. It's going to get you into trouble someday.
Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Everyone all together now? Hello.
Hello.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father.
Stop saying that!
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
No.
Offer me money.
Yes.
Power to. Promise me that.
All that I have and more. Please.
Offer me everything I ask for.
Anything you want.
I want my father back, you son of a bitch.
Will you ever forgive me?
What hideous sin have you committed lately?
I got married. I didn't want to. It all happened so fast.
It never happened.
What?
It never happened.
But it did. I was there. This old man said man and wife.
Did you say I do?
Well, no. We sort of skipped that part.
Then you're not married. If you didn't say it, you didn't do it. Wouldn't you agree, Your Highness?
A technicality that will shortly be remedied. But first things first. To the death!
No, to the pain.
I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase.
I'll explain, and I'll use small words so that you'll be sure to understand, you warthog-faced buffoon.
That may be the first time in my life a man has dared insult me.
It won't be the last. To the pain means the first thing you'll lose will be your feet, below the ankles, then your hands at your wrists, next your nose.
And then my tongue, I suppose. I killed you too quickly the last time, a mistake I don't mean to duplicate tonight.
I wasn't finished. The next thing you'll lose will be your left eye, followed by your right.
And then my ears, I understand. Let's get on with it.
Wrong. Your ears you'll keep, and I'll tell you why, so that every shriek of every child at seeing your hideousness will be yours to cherish. Every babe that weeps at your approach, every woman who cries out, "Dear God, what is that thing?" will echo in your perfect ears. That is what to the pain means. It means I will leave you in anguish, wallowing in freakish misery forever.
I think you're bluffing.
It's possible, pig. I might be bluffing. It's conceivable, you miserable you miserable, vomitous mass, that I'm only lying here because I lack the strength to stand. Then again, perhaps I have the strength after all. Drop your sword.
Where's Fezzik?
I thought he was with you.
No.
Ah, there you are, Nigo.
I saw the prince's stables, and there were four white horses, and I thought, there are four of us. If we ever find the lady. Hello, lady. So I took them with me, in case we ever bumped into each other. I guess we just did.
Fezzik, you did something right.
Don't worry, I won't let it go to my head.
You know, it's very strange. I've been in the revenge business so long, now that it's over, I don't know what to do the rest of my life.
Have you ever considered piracy? You'd make a wonderful Dread Pirate Roberts.
They rode to freedom, and as dawn arose, Wesley and Buttercup knew they were safe. A wave of love swept over the land, and as they reached out for each other...
What? What?
No, it's kissing again. You don't want to hear it.
I don't mind so much.
Okay. Since the invention of the kiss, there have been 5 kisses that were rated the most passionate, the most pure. This one left them all behind. The end. Now, I think you ought to go to sleep. Okay. All right. Okay. 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 All right. So long.
Grandpa, maybe you could come over and read it to me again tomorrow?
As you wish.
Come, my love, I'll tell you a tale of a boy and girl and their love story, and how he loved her oh so much, and all the charms she did possess. This did happen once upon a time, when things were not so complex, and how he worshipped the ground she walked, and when he looked in her eyes, he became obsessed. My love is like a storybook story, but it's as real as the feelings I feel. My love is like a storybook story, but it's as real as the feelings I feel. It's as real as the feelings I feel.
Aww.
Aww. Yes.
Hey.
Oh, I think Miracle Max definitely steals the show. That was great.
That was like
Fezzik. Wow, that was Fezzik was
just uncanny, Shane. That was just like no. The dread part of Rorts, I'm here to steal your soul. I am here, but you will not be here.
Well, he's got a very distinct accent. It's pretty not too difficult to try to
get into. He sounds so much like him.
Yeah.
Uncanny.
Exactly. I now picture you as Fezzik, which is probably not good. From now on, whenever I podcast with you, I'm podcasting with Andre the Giant.
Oh, he had a that really sad life.
Oh. Hello, lady.
Hello, lady.
Everybody, move!
Can I say I'm always pissed off that the man in black beats Inigo? It
bothers me too.
Why?
Especially in the book. Like, in the book, you read about Inigo's training and, like, all the crazy years he goes through. And then Wesley's on a pirate ship for 3 years. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I'm the best swordsman in the world. Ha, ha, ha. And it's like, no, you're not. Shut up.
He's the hero.
What did Inigo? He was squeezing rocks for a year just to get his hands strong. Oh, yeah. That was a good part in the book.
It's because he's white.
Everybody, move!
On the comic book podcast, we talked about how the main guy in that, Marco, is kind of too perfect and we don't like him. But in this one, when I was watching this morning, I was thinking Wesley's exactly the same, but I do like him, so that's kind of weird.
I think the difference is that Wesley's spoofing the perfect Errol Flynn hero because he does do some... It doesn't come across in the script because on the script he's always being really arrogant, but in the movie he does all that kind of... You know, when he's wrestling Fezzik... And he's almost like Bugs Bunny face. It's like gross. You know, he is kind of goofy.
On the script, he's like oddly vicious towards Buttercup. But it, like, I don't know. I guess the performance makes it endearing.
But in the movie, they are quite nasty to each other, aren't they? I mean, he genuinely does think she's been unfaithful and is annoying and stuff.
Oh, no, you poor man.
but you
maybe it's just that little tiny mustache that makes him cool.
That's not it.
I'm not feeling the muscle.
It's the hair.
Oh. You can't see the hair. He's wearing a mask.
It's fashionable.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
The bit that everyone will be wearing is when she shops him in to Humperdinck when they get out of the fire swamp. That always struck me as like, seriously? Again? I mean, oh. Yeah.
Mm. He was ready to die.
Hmm. I also want to point out that the description of the impressive clergyman is word for word from the script.
I was wondering about that. Was he supposed to play the clergyman himself or something?
Maybe he just wanted to cast Peter Cook and he figured that would be the way to get him. It's so cool.
But you know what? The thing is, like, I love the movie, but, you know, when I read the book and once I, like, realized that there was no S. Morgenstern, and, like, got all the way through. Like, if you read it beginning to end, there's actually, like, another story in there. And it's, like, you know, William Goldman's whole, like, battle with this imaginary son and, like, how he, like, kind of finds happiness in his life. And it's really beautiful.
And a lot of it's about, you know, just the appallingness of the movie system and how hard it is to get a script greenlit. It's just, there's all sorts of very kind of cynical, middle-aged, divorcing parent stuff, isn't there? The obese kid with the bike, the fondness for the primary school teacher. I mean, it's a really sad book.
Yeah, it's a very different experience from the movie.
Yeah, but still fun. Because, you know, movies and books and TV shows can be the same and different, and it's all okay.
Yes, exactly.
Well lived happily ever after.
Grinding her teeth.
She says, I'm not watching it next year. I'm not watching the show next year in the same way that I wasn't using the internet for the last 2 weeks.
Everybody, move!
Does anyone want to plug any future upcoming podcasts at the end of this? So I like a trailer. Maybe nothing recording in the next week, but stuff that's a bit further away.
I'm doing,
are we doing Shakespeare ever?
Oh, yeah, Shakespeare, yeah.
I think Silence is trying to kick that off maybe in October. I think the thing with the Shakespeare one is you need to give people a long lead time because, like, I will have to reread the play that I'm covering because I haven't read those things in a while, so.
Yeah.
But I think, isn't Silmarillion? Yeah, Shane, you might probably know about that.
I don't know. I haven't. I just know it's supposed to happen. I'm going back and forth on whether I want to try to get into it, but they're supposed to, I think they're not doing the whole, they're doing, like, chapters at a time, so I might try to get in online if there's room. But yeah, it's supposed to be in September, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a big 10-part marathon, isn't it? There's a Jack the Ripper one we're going to try and do, but that's happening next weekend, so it might be too late for this podcast going out on to coincide with the gory anniversary of the first victim. And a Brideshead Revisited one in September, if anyone wants to join.
Everybody, move!
Is this podcast, is this actually going up as a podcast, or is this just like a fun forum thing?
It remains to be seen.
Okay, we'll have to decide that.
Everybody, move!
Amber? I feel like the person in Ferris Bueller's Day Off who's like taking,
Ben Stern.
Bueller.
Ben Stein.
I haven't seen that movie in a really long time, but I still remember it perfectly.
Everybody, move!
Bueller. Bueller. Mika.
Sorry, I was on mute. I'm sorry.
Everybody, move!
Does Rocky need defending?
Yeah, exactly. Does Rocky need Shane? Exactly.
Yeah, he does. Like, people don't think of him with the respect he deserves.
The problem about Rocky is that Rocky came out the year of films like, I'm trying to think, Apocalypse Now, and probably one of the Godfathers. And so people get, like, angry that Rocky got Best Picture and all these art house amazing films, which are no less amazing. Yeah, anyway, so the point about Rocky is that Sylvester Stallone, much like Arnold Schwarzenegger, may portray himself as a buffoon, but is actually incredibly clever, as an incredibly astute screenwriter and producer, and produced the seminal sports movie. And art house people get all worked up about Raging Bull, but they all go home and watch Rocky because Rocky's fucking amazing. Because that movie touches people because it's an awesome movie and people should give it respect. This is my message to the people of VOK. If anyone has an issue with anything that I said, private message me and I'll see you outside and we'll fight it out like men because I am. Do Rocky, have you been to Baltimore and like, not Baltimore, Philadelphia and run up the steps and like,
yes,
done
the I have.
People from all over the world don't go to a certain place in New York to sort of pay homage to Raging Bull. You know, you go to the Philadelphia Museum of Art any day of the week, there's people queuing up to pose with a Rocky statue because that movie has meaning. Adria! Mm-hmm. I think we should do a full class recording. We need to do it. Also given the world, let me also say, Rocky's given the world Eye of the Tiger, classic. It's also given the world James Brown, Living in America. Is there any greater absolute endorsement of the American dream out there? That film makes me feel patriotic and I'm not even fucking American. And you have to remember, that song was released at the height of the Cold War. That film was almost what brought down the Iron Curtain.
Rocky defends America.
I feel like I'm learning so much.
Seriously, yeah, watch that fight.
People don't realize this. Rocky ended the Cold War. Nobody understands this.
Rocky did end the Cold War.
Yeah.
That
broke down the
wall.
You should cut this out and put this into the podcast.
Yeah, just do that.
It was. It's a classic American dream story, you know. Second generation immigrant comes a multimillionaire, his kid has a robot, has you know, a wife wants lives in a mansion. That's the shizzle. It is the shizzle. And this like Russian pumped up and he's like he's cheating, he's on steroids because communists cheat and he hates it. There you go. And it was ahead of its time on race issues. You know, America's bleeding right now. You've got the National Guard. You know, his best friend was black. It was amazing. It was a time of brotherly love. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It's a strong message. You need to get it out to the kids. Make it happen. Yeah.